From the magnificent Midwest, it's the Suzanne Venker Show, where men and women are equal in value but wildly different by nature. Join us here every week as we challenge the culture's hugely flawed narratives about men, women, sex, and love. From coast to coast and from around the world, thank you for joining us. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. So today I want to talk about a phenomenon known as overachieving, which is extremely prevalent today, so much so that if I'm not describing you, I'm likely describing somebody you know very well. Overachieving is defined as the unrelenting drive for high performance. And there was a great article in the Wall Street Journal last month about this topic. And I'm going to essentially read portions of that article and link it to what I see on my end in coaching, because as you might imagine, I mean, most of the women that I speak with and work with are definitely overachievers. Not always, but about 85%. And trying to recognize the problems with that can be very difficult, especially when you've been raised your entire life to become a high achiever. So I'm going to start with this article that was called "For Happiness in the New Year, Stop Overdoing Everything." It was written by Julia DeGangi, I guess, in the Wall Street Journal. I'm going to link this in the show notes if you want to read it yourself. She opens by saying, "As a neuropsychologist, much of my work focuses on how people respond to stress. I often find myself helping people understand the effects of self-defeating behaviors that I call the overs. It's a familiar list: overworking, overachieving, overthinking, overexplaining, overgiving, overcommitting, and overaccommodating." So she's lumping. I'm going to focus and hone in on overachieving, or high achievers, if you will. No, not high achievers. Usually it's high achievers, but I'm going to really hone in on the word over. She lumps that overachieving in with obviously other things that people do that is just over the top. And she calls them overs, O-V-E-R-S. So if I say overs, I'm referring to her word from the article, but I'm going to focus on overachieving. So essentially what she explains is that overachieving is a form of self-protection or safety seeking, that people are doing it because they feel anxiety, they feel stressed out or frustrated or uncertain. That's a big one. And so the threat networks in your brain have activated and you're essentially fearful. And to restore balance, you compensate by using these behaviors that are sort of designed to alleviate that fear. The problem with overachieving is that it is ultimately counterproductive. It's sort of like if you think about the concept of multitasking, which is super common today. And I actually wrote an article once about, or I know I have a whole chapter in one of my books about how multitasking is in fact a myth. And there's a great book called Multitasking, The Myth of Multitasking, if you want to check that out. And the gist of that book is that, or the message of multitasking being a myth is that your brain can't handle doing a bunch of things at one time effectively. If you want to succeed at something, you have to be super focused and be able to drown out the things around you so that you can get from point A to point B on that one task at hand. It's sort of like that with overachieving, because oftentimes you're trying to accomplish a lot at one time and thinking that you're getting somewhere when in fact it's undermining your own mental and physical health. And often that task that you're trying to get done isn't even done to completion or, you know, done well. So she writes here that in my work with high achieving individuals, they often agree that all of their overfunctioning feels bad to them but they insist they continue. They insist they need to continue overdoing it in order to stay safe, or as they put it, to stay relevant or on top. Regardless of semantics, the underlying neurobiology is the same, overachieving as a form of self-protection. So I can 100% vouch for that as well from what I see on my end. There are deeper psychological needs behind this behavior. And it absolutely is an attempt to control the really the uncontrollable, but to control our surroundings or our circumstances rather than sort of relax and know that everything will be all right if you don't go the extra mile or if you don't overachieve. And this is, it's important to understand, I'm not talking about not doing your best at something, and I'm not talking about not trying to achieve excellence in a specific domain. All of that's good. I'm talking about overdoing it, overachieving, because you are trying to compensate for something and you're scared. And you think that by overachieving, you become impervious to being hurt in some way, when in reality, we're just harming our own health. Because the more we overfunction, which she talks about that in here, the more you overfunction, the more you want to overfunction. So it's like a, it's like an addiction. It's very similar to an addiction, because the more you have something or do something, the more you want or have to do it, because it just sort of, it's like a feedback loop, right? So the problem is that, while there have always been what she calls overs, like I said, in both sexes and in every era, actually, I'm convinced that women today are drowning in this phenomenon. Like I said, I work with overachieving women every week, and I can vouch for the truth of this article. They do know how bad it feels, and they complain about it, but they can't stop themselves because they're convinced that if they don't achieve, they won't be safe, either financially or, as she pointed out, simply to remain professionally relevant. You know, you have to keep going, 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 or you're going to fall behind. And it's a common theme that you hear and read a lot about, but that doesn't mean that it's true or accurate. So this is a completely different way of looking at what overachieving really is about. And of course, these women have all been raised this way, right? They've been groomed to live this way. So if either from the culture, from their parents, or both. And it's really all they know. So it doesn't really usually come to a head until children come along. And that's when the attempt to having been this overachiever sort of comes to a screeching halt, because when children, or when you're not married with children, it seems like that's just what you do, and that seems very doable. But then all of a sudden, the children come along, and you're like, okay, what now? And then you're trying to make both things, you're trying to do justice to both things. It's falling apart. You don't know any other way of doing it, though. So you just keep on with it. And this is where it really gets very psychological to get into the weeds about not only how to put an end to it, but why you're doing it and continuing to do it. So I started to make a list of all the women I've worked with in the past 5 years or so who've struggled to shift their mindset about all of this. And some have been successful, many have been successful, but some have not. I mean, it's a long journey, no question. And I know it can work because I've seen it happen, but it is definitely not everyone's going to be able to do it. Let's put it that way. But at the end of this gal's article, she describes three strategies to essentially help you stop overachieving, or in this case, and what she was saying is overdoing anything. So this could apply to anything you overdo. Like, for example, I am a huge overthinker. I mean, poster child right here for overthinking. Definitely. And that has its problems too. So I get it from that angle. So here we go. There's three of them. Ready? Number one, decide or create a new boundary and expect it to feel bad. So what that means basically is doing something different to stop the desire to overachieve and then sit with that. So for example, it might be as simple as turning off your phone or turning off your computer at a specific time of day for X amount of time and sitting in that discomfort and finding a way out of it. Your tendency is going to want to be to go turn it back on if you are an overachiever, and that gets into, you know, you'll start to feel if you try this that, wow, I think maybe I am addicted to this. Who am I when I'm not trying to achieve something or do something? And if it's not computer or phone related, it could be just carving out an hour of your day where you have absolutely nothing on your plate to accomplish and see how you get through that hour, right? And it doesn't matter what time of day it is, I guess, but kind of assess your breathing and the way you feel when you're not producing. And if that is uncomfortable, why is that uncomfortable? And what can you do to make it more comfortable for you? Just simple things. It could be anything from taking a bath to doing yoga to listening to really calming music on your phone or wherever. But the point is to interrupt your got to be doing something and got to be achieving something pattern and sitting with that. And so as she wrote here, to stop overdoing, plan for some feelings of distress to emerge temporarily as you behave in more balanced ways. So don't run back to it the moment you feel uncomfortable. I think this is a really difficult one for the modern generation because we really don't encourage anybody to endure uncomfortable feelings anymore, or pain or, you know, just like suffer through it, so to speak. You know, no one's really encouraged to do that anymore, but that actually is how you're going to get to the other side, is by suffering first. And maybe that isn't the best word, enduring the difficulty of it to get to the other side. And if you fill that in with comfort all the time, you're not going to, this isn't going to work. You're not going to be able to adopt new behaviors. So on that number one, creating a new boundary, expecting it to feel bad. She says habituation simply means repeatedly exposing yourself to something that initially frightens you. And after repeated exposures, your brain learns that the thing is not that dangerous, right? Or it's not uncomfortable. Okay. Number two, recognize the difference between danger, she wrote, and dislike. I'm going to say discomfort. Recognize the difference between danger and discomfort. In other words, when you start to upset the apple cart or do something differently by not overachieving, right? Relaxing more or quitting or going back from full-time to part-time, stuff like that. People may get mad at you. You know, I don't know whether it would be your boss or your husband or you getting mad at you or your mom or your dad. However people are going to respond to your choices to not continue down this road, they may get mad at you, but that's not harmful. That's just uncomfortable. That's just uncomfortable. And so that kind of goes back to what I was saying before, is sitting with that discomfort, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing or that you shouldn't proceed. It just means you got to sit with that discomfort, or depending on what it is you're trying to do, you might have to work through it with your spouse if you're married. She writes here that people overestimate the negative consequences of their decisions. Like they make more out of it than it is. Like it's more about the scariness of the change, not the actual action itself. What will harm you is chronically avoiding the negative feelings that your decisions may generate. So avoiding and denying take a huge amount of psychological energy, and that's that's going to negatively affect you, your health, because you're not dealing with your feelings. You're just covering them up with more achieving. Okay. And then the third one is, this is the biggest one of all, but the most significant, because it's actually how you land at true change. Consider that you might be the problem, that you are needlessly protecting yourself against perceived danger. So, like she writes here, often we overfunction because we feel like the other isn't safe, that another person will reject, harm, or disappoint us. And so this is a repeated attempt to, keep that from happening. You think if you're overachieving and you're taking care of yourself, that you'll never be hurt. And of course, that's kind of, she doesn't get into the concept of, she doesn't get into a conversation about relationships, but that's what I do. So in my work, that's how this shows up, is in the context of a marriage, usually a marriage or a relationship, where what happens if I stop producing or I stop trying so hard? And this isn't always about, it very often is, but it's not always about whether to work less, for example, or quit a job if you're a wife and mother. But I mean, you can be an overachiever and be a full-time mom because you're constantly doing things. You just can't relax, so to speak. You always have to be producing. So producing doesn't always mean a paycheck. It's just producing in some capacity. But there's no question that mostly for my work, it's about that. And you have to really hone in on what scares you about you're no longer feeling like you need to be a high achiever. And a lot of these behaviors and mindset come from childhood, let's face it. I mean, I have many clients whose parents taught their daughters to be high achievers, and they really don't know how to exist in the world in any other way. So there's that. But you can also become a high achiever because your childhood wasn't secure. You know, if you had an alcoholic parent, for example, or if your parents' marriage was very volatile, there are all kinds of scenarios that would cause you to go into this high achieving mode, which really, it's just at the end of the day, a form of control. That's really what it is. You're trying to control the universe, so to speak, because if you're always producing or achieving, you're somehow going to keep negative things at bay. And the point of this article that I liked so much was that she was essentially saying, you think you're doing something, but in fact, you're only harming yourself. That it just has this allure of making you feel more secure, but it's harmful to your mental and physical health to be on edge all the time and always having to produce as opposed to relaxing. But also it messes with your relationships, because if you're in that mode all the time, you've set up a dynamic that is more prone to conflict, for one thing. And if you want to get off that treadmill, which is what I'm encouraging people to do, if you want to stop overachieving, you're going to upset the apple cart of your relationship or your marriage. Because if you got together with the assumption that that's how you were going to be, and then you decide to change it, obviously that's going to be, I mean, it's fixable, it's doable, but it's going to be rocky. So bottom line, overachieving is something that young women in particular were encouraged to do for, not the wrong reasons. Their parents meant well if it came from their parents. But at the end of the day, it is ultimately counterproductive. You almost always will hit a wall where it no longer feels right, and you know it doesn't feel right, and then you can't get out of it, and you don't know how, because it's all you know. So those are skills that you have to learn in order to undo that behavior. And so that's what her three suggestions were all about. I'm going to restate them really quickly. Creating a new boundary and expecting it to feel bad. So just sitting through and enduring that temporary discomfort. Number two, recognize the difference between danger and discomfort. You know, just because people get mad at you because you're going to change things up doesn't mean you're in harm's way. It just means it's going to be uncomfortable. And the third one, consider that you might actually be the problem and you're really trying to protect yourself against a perceived threat that isn't there. And that it's really about you trying to control your universe and it's just hurting you and ultimately your relationships. So this is a completely different way of thinking about overachieving. I know it's very different from what you've heard in the past and what you've been told, which is why I'm doing it, because you know I always have to do the opposite of everything you were told, because that's what I do. That's my brand. And I believe in it. I believe that pretty much everything you've been told is not going to get you where you want to go. So I love these new ways of thinking about things, and I want to share them with you so that you can actually improve your life. So that's it. Once again, I'll have this article in the show notes if you want to take a look at it. And yeah, that's all I've got for today. And that ends this hour of the Suzanne Venker Show. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and to leave us a review, as well as share this episode with a friend. As always, you may reach me with any questions or comments at Suzanne@thesuzannevenkershow.com. And if you would like to support this podcast, which would be very much appreciated, you can do so at patreon.com/thesuzannevenkershow. Thanks, everyone. Have a good week.